Right, good afternoon. It's very lovely to be here with you. And the first question is, what exactly does this title mean? Mystical transactions. What is a mystical transaction and the Chabad Hasidic discourse? Well, I suggest that a mystical transaction is a breaking through borders of finite structures of existence, rationality, and there are two parties. Now, the two parties could be the person and God, or two people, God and the world. So that's what I mean by a mystical transaction, some kind of linking of. And the second title, the second part of the title is the Chabad Hasidic Discourse. Now, let's try to understand this. It's a particular genre of spiritual communication that began in the remarkable environment of the first leader of Hasidism, the Baal Shem Tov, and then the Maggid of Meserich. In fact, particularly from the Maggid, we see extended Torah teachings, which have a special quality. And in the next generation, figures like Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Berditchov, that we already heard about from Dr. Lukin, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman, likewise, who were friends, they produced teachings which are a rather intriguing kind, and particularly in the Chabad movement, where through an unusual confluence of teachers and disciples, a distinctive style evolved both in content and in form. And there's an extensive library of Chabad discourses through seven generations of Chabad leaders, many of the discourses linking together. Now, for some reason it's not coming up very clearly, but anyway, we have here 27 volumes of discourses by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. I'm sorry, it hasn't translated clearly to the next figure, Rabbi Dov Baer. There's 18 volumes. Rabbi Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, died in 1866, 41 volumes. Rav Shmuel de Maharash, 27 volumes of published works. Rabbi Sholem Dov Baer, 31 volumes. Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson, 24 volumes of discourses. We're not talking about other kinds of writing, like halachic writings or letters or things of that kind, just discourses. And Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, the last Rebbe, 30 volumes of discourses, quite apart from his sichot, his talks, his letters, and other kinds of writing, 30 volumes of discourses. So there's a considerable number of these discourses. It's a remarkable library. It's a remarkable library of fascinating material. Now, what I'm suggesting here in this paper, that a number of varieties of mystical transaction are associated with the Chabad Hasidic discourse. We could talk about them as between the Rebbe and God, the Rebbe with the Hasidim, the Rebbe with previous Rebbeim, God, the Shekhinah, and the world, and we're going to try to consider some of these today. Now let's go to the early generations of Hasidism. There's a passage about delivering Torah teachings, which could well be called a mystical transaction. The source is Rabbi Zev Wolf of Zhytomyr, in a book called Or HaMeir, first printed 1787, 15 years after the death of Rabbi Dov Baer, the Maggid of Meserich. And he writes as follows. Once I heard the Maggid of blessed memory, that's the Maggid of Meserich, we understand. Some people claim it's someone else, the Maggid of Zlotrov, but I think it's pretty clear it's the Maggid of Meserich. Once I heard the Maggid of blessed memory state explicitly, I will teach you the best way of pronouncing Torah, how to say Torah as a Hasidic Rebbe, which is as follows. No, eino magish et atzmo. You don't feel yourself. You are just an ear listening to the way Olam HaDibur, the world of speech, is speaking within you. It's not you who is speaking. In fact, as soon as you hear your own words, stop. If you suddenly realize I'm speaking, then stop. The person writing this, Rabbi Zev Wolf, wrote, on many occasions I saw the Maggid with my own eyes. When he opened his mouth to speak words of Torah, he appeared to everyone as if he were not in this world at all, but as if the Shekhinah was speaking from his throat. Sometimes, even in the middle of a subject or the middle of a word, he would stop and wait for a while. Now, so in other words, he's waiting for the Shekhinah to speak through him. Now, this was an acute state of selflessness of the Maggid. Now, considering the Chabad Hasidic discourse, the Chabad discourse is lengthy, complex, deeply intellectual. The passage that I quoted from O HaMeir was brought to my attention and that of many other people by Joseph Weiss, Alav HaShalom, who was a great scholar at UCL, whom I studied with at the beginning of my studies in the university. And he points out the difference between relatively brief, spontaneous teachings and what he calls the carefully prepared discourse given by the rabbi in a non-Hasidic environment. Yes, you can have a long discussion of the Rambam and this, the other, would we call that a mystical transaction, right? Weiss doesn't use the term mystical transaction, but he talks about, he uses other terms for the mystical experience. He's certainly talking about mystical experiences. Now, when we look at these many, many volumes which are here, and they are lengthy, complex discourses, can one imagine these to have something of this same mystical aura, or are they very carefully thought out Kabbalistic intellectual discussions? Now, in fact, some of Rabbi Shneur Zalman's teachings, his earliest teachings, we're going now to the beginning of Chabad, they are in fact very short. They're published in a volume called Sefer HaMa'amarim HaKetzarim, the Book of Short Discourses. But later on, his discourses became much longer and have a kind of discursive philosophical style. His son, Rabbi Dov Ber, the second Rebbe, taught very lengthy discourses. In the fourth and fifth generations of the Lubavitch line of Chabad, they developed what's called the Hemshech, a series in which successive discourses, week by week, for a period of several months or even years, continue the development of a central Kabbalistic philosophical theme, while the beginning and the end of each individual discourse relate to the Torah reading for that week. We're going to speak more about that later. Now, are these things really a mystical transaction with God, or is it a wonderful library of esoteric discussion? Okay, let's leave this question open for the moment. Let's turn to another issue. The idea of a mystical transaction between Rebbe and Hasid, or perhaps someone who might be a Hasid. Well, here's someone who might have been a Hasid, but in the end wasn't. This is Solomon Maimon. Solomon Maimon began his life in Eastern Europe, and eventually he went to Berlin, and he cut off his beard, and he became a prominent philosopher writing in German. He wrote an interesting critique of Immanuel Kant, and Kant said no one understood his philosophy as well as Maimon. So, however, in his early life, as he writes about in his autobiography, which is in an English translation as well. He depicts scenes from his early life in Europe, in Eastern Europe, including a visit to a Hasidic court, which is generally assumed, there are various clues, that it's the Maggid of Mezrich. Maimon describes being together with other guests at the court of the Maggid, sitting at the table of the white-robed tzaddik, the white-robed rebbe. After the meal and a solemn, inspiring melody, right, the tzaddik called out the name and provenance of each of the guests, to their surprise. In addition, when the Maggid called his name and said where he was from, the Maggid, every newcomer, recited some verse of the Holy Scriptures. So each person said a verse, whatever came into their head. Thereupon the Maggid began to deliver a sermon for which all the verses recited became a text. So although they were disconnected from different parts of the scripture, he combined them all into one long drasha. And what was even more extraordinary, says Maimon, each one of the newcomers believed that he discovered in that part of the sermon founded on his verse something that had special reference to his own spiritual life. So the way that that verse was commented on was telling me, as the participant, something about myself. The Rebbe was telling me. So we find an anti-Hasidic writer, Rabbi Yisrael Leibel, depicts a similar format somewhere else. So it's not completely unknown. It's there in Maimon, but we also find it somewhere else. Now, so there we have this idea that somehow the teaching is a connection between the Rebbe and the Hasidim. Rabbi Uri of Strelitz, 1757 to 1826, known as the Saraf, he describes the tzaddik speaking Torah in the following ways. The tzaddik is when he says, when a Jew studies and says original ideas in Torah, Chidushin, he has to cleave to the Holy One. And when the tzaddik says words of Torah in public and bonds himself to Ein Sof, to the infinite, his words are like a hammer splitting the rock, scattering fire to every side. Everyone hearing his sacred words, each individual understands another meaning in his words. And all the interpretations are included but his words. But his words make pathways and channels in the hearts of the Jewish people in order to ascend to God. Therefore, each person understands according to what is needed for the tikkun, the repair of his soul. So he presents this idea that a Rebbe, a tzaddik, gives a teaching, and this is something which relates to each individual. Now, let's go back to Chabad. Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the founder of Chabad, would give inspired public discourses on Shabbat, and we have a quote from a passage of one of his followers as follows. Rabbi Shneur Zalman told him, to deliver Hasidic teachings, you should imagine 600,000 Israelites are present, together with Moses, Aaron, and the Shivim Zkenim and the 70 elders. If in that situation you would say it, then say it. If not, don't. Further, if you are speaking of any spiritual attainment, let's say love of God, fear of God, if you have it within oneself, within yourself, you can say it. If it's not in yourself, don't say it. Now, all right, so that gives us some information about how Rabbi Shneur Zalman thought of giving a Hasidic teaching. Now let's consider how did his teachings affect other people. There was a Chabad chronicler at the turn of the 20th century, Chaim Meir Hillman, in a book published 1902, something like that. But he's recording traditions from earlier. So he said of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, his saying of Hasidic teachings was very moving, mavhil ma'od. All who stood there felt fear of God, as they were standing there, they would become Baalei Tshuva Gemurim, complete repentance. And they were infused to service of God in an amazing way. Ba'ofan Nora Ma'od. Now, then we have a person called Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Saminavsky. He was a disciple of a man called Rabbi Hillel of Parich, who had been a close follower of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. So Rabbi Saminavsky wrote a book on the Talmud, and at the end of it he adds some stories he heard from Rabbi Hillel. So one of them is about a discourse, hearing a discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Now, the story is told to Hillel by a man called Rabbi Moshe Vilenka, who was a famous Hasid of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. There was a big crowd around the table where Rabbi Shneur Zalman was going to speak. And Rabbi Moshe could not get a place at the table. So what did he do? He got under the table. He went under the table so that he would be able to hear what the Rebbe says. Meanwhile, he's under the table, they're saying L'chaim, so the Hasidim are giving him under the table for him to say L'chaim. When Rabbi Shneur, and so this is Moshe Vilenka speaking, as recounted by Hillel to this person who wrote it down. When Rabbi Shneur Zalman began saying words of Torah, I moved near his feet and I could hear well. In the middle of the maimah, the middle of the discourse, the Rebbe slipped under the table, as was his way. And he said, I want simple achdut pshuta, simple unity with God. Who is there for me in heaven? Mili bashamayim. I don't want the upper garden of Eden. I want nothing apart from you in the world. I don't want the lower garden of Eden. I want only you. I would have died long ago, but your Torah and commandments hold me back. Rabbi Moshe continued, I was very squashed because when the Rebbe slipped under the table speaking ecstatically, everyone else got under the table as well because they all want to hear what he's saying. And so Rabbi Moshe got extremely squashed in that experience. So we see Rabbi Shneur Zalman experience very ecstatic transports. He's the author of the highly rational and organized Tanya and lengthy scholarly discourses, but these discourses are being delivered in an ecstatic way. Now, so that certainly shows that there's something ecstatic in the relationship of Rabbi Shneur Zalman and the divine while he's saying these discourses. But how does this relate to his followers? Now, there are various ways in which Rabbi Shneur Zalman would speak to people individually in Yechidut. He sometimes had group Yechidut. Everyone had the right to come once a year to a group Yechidut, preferably all people from one locality, and it would be in the afternoon, and he would talk to them, and it would be very like personal guidance. But what about his actual discourses? Well, I want to take a figure. I haven't got a clue properly about the discourses of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the way they relate to individuals. For that, I turn to later figures, and I'm going to turn to this figure, Rabbi Shalom Dov Ben Schneerson, the Rashab, 1860 to 1920. In fact, tonight is the Hebrew date of his birthday, the 20th of Cheshvan, and so that was 159 years ago, and we are entering the centenary of his passing away. So he's a very, very remarkable figure. He brought the art of the Chabad Maimah, the Chabad discourse, to a climax in his long Hemsheichim, a chain of discourses which expound a central theme. Here is the Hemshech called, it's generally called Ayin Beis by its date, Tav Reish Ayin Bet, 1912. It was begun on Shavuot, 1912, continued until the autumn of 1915. It contains 144 discourses and an additional volume which was never presented publicly. Each discourse is several pages long. Each discourse begins with a question about the Seder of the week or something like that. Ostensibly, in order to answer the question, it continues the Kabbalistic philosophic discussion from the previous discourses, which it takes several steps further, and then a concluding section shows how the opening question relating to the Seder of the week has now been answered. It's a feat. The lengthy chains by the Rashab, he's called, Reb Sholem Dover, they're seen as forming a kind of encyclopedia of Chabad thought. Their author is termed by the Lubavitch followers the Rambam of Hasidic teaching. At the same time, they convey profound ethical and spiritual teachings intended to be applied by each individual in prayer and life. But are these teachings delivered only in general? Are they ever focused on a specific hearer? An anecdote told in Chabad circles is that the Rashab was once expounding a discourse in a certain theme, and he was presenting several levels. There's the first level, the second level, the third level, a fourth level. A prominent young Hasid named Sadia Liberov, here we have him later in his later years, that's how I knew him in the 1970s. So this Sadia Liberov was late for the discourse. He only arrived near the end, when at some point the Rebbe said to him, you know, if you would have come earlier, I would have explained another level. So like going up the octave. So there's different levels, but if that person would have been among the crowd of people listening, then there would have been the explanation of another level. So that's a clue that the Rashab's lengthy encyclopedia discussions of Chabad, in fact, have a certain level of personal interaction with them, rather than only being, which they are obviously, teachings of guidance, of spiritual guidance, but it's in fact focused on those people who were there. Now, some 50 years later, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe, shortly after the passing of his father-in-law, the 6th Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, made a similar claim about the teachings of his predecessors. In 1950, a leading figure in the Chabad Hasidic fraternity had asked him a question, not as Rebbe, he had not yet assumed that mantle publicly, but as the scholarly son-in-law of the late Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, who had died less than a month earlier. The Chosid asked, in the current atmosphere of mourning for the late Rebbe, my daughter's getting married very soon. Should there be dancing at the wedding? Rabbi Menachem Mendel wrote to him, in my humble opinion, there should be rejoicing for the groom and bride with Chabad melodies and similar. It is known among the Rebbeim, and I especially heard concerning the 4th Rebbe, Reb Shmuel, when saying the discourse, he would say certain phrases which were relevant only to certain individuals among those who were listening. Each one would hear what was relevant to him. Now, the discourse that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak published in order to be studied on the day in which he in fact passed away, there are a number of Baal Shem-like set phrases. And the answer to your question, in my humble opinion, is at the beginning of chapter 5, which describes enthusiastic rejoicing at a wedding. You should explain this to the groom and bride and to the guests. So in other words, the fact that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak left the discourse which talks about dancing at a wedding, he's saying that is a teaching to you that there should be dancing at your daughter's wedding, even though it's very shortly after the passing of the Rebbe. So now this is really a mystical connection. The track that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak wrote and published, it is a published thing. It wasn't that there was a group of people there listening to his discourse,
But the fact that this Hasid is asking this question, Rabbi Menachem Mendel says, the clue is in the discourse for you. All right. So this suggests the idea that from Rabbi Menachem Mendel's point of view, there is some kind of transaction taking place between the Rebbe and the Hasidim who are listening. Now then we have another kind of figure in the Chabad community through the generations. A person called a Chozer. A Chozer is someone who has a remarkable power of memory. This Chozer, Zalazan Gazun, is Rabbi Yoel Kahn, born 1930. You can go to Crown Heights and see him. He has been here to England as well. A fascinating figure. He is able to, when the Lubavitch Rebbe would give 5-6 hours talks at a time, he would be able to memorize the entire night's talking, word for word, and he trained other people to be able to do this in an incredible way. Now, in order to do this, is there a link of mind to mind, or soul to soul, or both? I think that Rabbi Yoel Kahn, asked this question, would say, look, if the Rebbe didn't say it, okay, thank you. If the Rebbe didn't say it, then don't say it. He's very much a purist in that sense. But I would say it's not just a matter of mind to mind. It is a very deep kind of connection. Now, in the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe's discourses, we also have the sense of a Rebbe connecting with previous Rebbes, previous Rebbeim. He's that 7th Rebbe, and his discourses very often include the teachings of the previous Rebbeim, sometimes all 6 of the previous Rebbeim, and one can feel this sense of connection. And also, we have the idea that in a Hasidic discourse, what is actually happening? You see, Kabbalistic teachings talk about the downchaining of worlds, this realm of the different 4 worlds of the Kabbalah: action, formation, creation, then the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation. But there are higher levels as well. There are levels beyond the downchaining of worlds. And what we find with the 2nd Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the 5th Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe particularly, reaching into this sort of exalted realm, to the essence of the divine, and explanations of, particularly in the 7th Rebbe, the way that the essence of the divine is here in the here and now. This is a fascinating quality. And now we're just, in order to finish, we're going to see if... Now, this is a sikha. This is a talk. It can't locate it, Ellie. Is that... All right, never mind the sikha. Let's just go to the maimon.
Don't
want to
get into that.
Yeah. Well, it'll take this one, not that. Yeah. No. No, the next one. All right. Everything depends on mazal, including the Torah. I just give one example of interaction between Rebbeim. There's an interesting description of the 2nd Lubavitcher Rebbe, shortly after the first Lubavitcher Rebbe had passed away. And he revealed to his shamus, who was sort of looking after him, that he had just been speaking to his predecessor, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, who had said to him a discourse, and he said a discourse to Rabbi Shneur Zalman, this bond between souls, despite the barriers of one passing away, this idea of connection between souls. So therefore we have the idea that the Chabad discourse, my suggestion is, it's a mystical transaction with the divine, revealing hidden realms, realms beyond the polarity of the hidden and revealed, and so therefore this sense of the spiritual dimension is there in the Chabad discourse, and I suppose the way to experience that is by studying them oneself. One can, in fact, get on the web quite a number of discourses said by the Rebbe, and also people teaching discourses, including my little self, at ChabadResearch.net, where there are discourses elucidated. Thank you.
Normal synagogue, not in the Hasidic tradition, so would the rabbi still have the transaction speak to the congregation?
I don't think he would claim that normally.
He wouldn't have this kind
He would say he is a scholar, he has studied many years, he knows a lot of, he might be very wise. But he doesn't think of it in mystical terms, outside the Hasidic movement. The people who focus a lot on Talmudic scholarship, they would say that knowledge of what the Talmud says about this or about that is higher than any mystical experience. And there's a lot of truth to that in certain senses. Mystical experiences can be, they can be deceptive, but at the same time, what the Hasidic movement emphasized is that some level of spirituality is important for the individual and the community.
That's a question. You described giving a Hasidic discourse like, the divine, the Shekhinah speaking, and the Maggid will pause. Does that the description have its roots, possibly in not the Talmudic period of history, Jewish history, like medieval and so on, but more going back, if one wants to identify in history where one can find such description of Torah teaching in that kind of way, would it indicate towards the period of the prophets?
Well, the period of the prophets would be, you know, you have this very interesting thing, Vayihi kenagen hamenagen, that in order for a prophet to prophesy, someone would play music, and he would go into a kind of a mystical transport and deliver his prophecy. What we did not manage to have because of the problem with the internet is that before the discourse, before the saying of the discourse, there would be a special nigun, the Rostova nigun. Can you play it?
I don't remember on the heart. But if you have the Nichoach book, maybe no.
That's, how does it go? The Rostova nigun? Ya 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 yo yo ya 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 yo yo. Ya 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 oh yo yo Hayiridaya, hayiridaya, hom baho, ya yiridamba yamba hom, hayiridamba yamba hom, hayiridamba, hayiridamba ho, ya, ya yiridambam, ha yamba yababambam, ho, ya, ya, ho, ya, ya, ho. Now, the way the Rebbe would say a discourse, it's like an automatic thing. I wanted to try to show the difference between when he said a sicha, which is like having delivering a talk with questions and answers, and but a discourse is completely different. A maima, it's like going through him. It's a kind of a chant. To verstehen, it's a completely different thing. And I must share with you, I was very excited. In 1973, I went for the first time to the Lubavitch Rebbe. And I had been listening to the Rebbe's talks, which had been phoned through to England in the middle of the night for the last couple of years, from 1971 onwards. And I'd been reading his teachings and many other Hasidic teachings of Chabad and also outside Chabad, Breslov and so on. And I was very excited to hear a maima, Hasidic discourse, by the Rebbe. And on the 12th of Tammuz, 1973, I was there in this packed room, and the Rebbe spoke various discourses. Then came the maima, and everyone began singing the maima melody, and they all stood up, and the Rebbe began speaking, and there was a spotlight on his face, shining on his face. And I was struck by this, and I looked around to see where the spotlight was coming from. But there was no spotlight. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you.